The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I've been catching bits and pieces of the football playoffs. I really don't have time to sit down and watch a whole game anymore like I used to way back. And I watched the national championship with Ohio State and Notre Dame. It's really hard for me to know who to root for. I really wanted, my heart was with Notre Dame, of course. But Ohio State's in Ohio here and one of our teams. I guess I was leaning towards Notre Dame. However, I noticed something as I was watching this. Football seems to combine two of the worst features of American life. Violence and committee meetings. You notice that? A lot of gatherings there, and then they get violent. Nice to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In with my cohorts, my compatriots there in Ann Arbor, Eric Dumont, call screamer, Andrew Kruchek, producer man. The number to get on to the program, as I very much want to hear from you, 877-573-573. You got that so far? 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's really easy to remember. That part's really easy to remember. Bouncing all over the place with those numbers, 877-573-782. It's like singing the national anthem. The national anthem is a hard, hard song to sing because it goes all over the place. Nothing like America the Beautiful, which pretty much everybody can sing. You notice that with church songs, too? A lot of them are very straightforward, simple to sing. When you start getting really, really, really fancy with a church song, the guys start dropping out because they just can't get their voices to go all over the scale like that. Okay, one more time the number, 877-57-EQUAL. And pretty much one more time, an update on our presence down in Ave Maria University in Florida. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. Although, I'm thinking, oh, go down to Florida, great, 78 degrees. Well, I'm not so sure that's what's going on. I wasn't going to bring a jacket down there. Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, 28th and 29th, we will be taping Living Right with Dr. Ray, two shows each night. Now, they're telling me the audience is pretty full, very, very full. As a matter of fact, may be fuller than the room can hold. But we're still taking people. Go to Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, .com, and you can sign up. And there's always a certain percentage of no-shows. And one of the things that's been happening as I've been doing the program is has also been a very high percentage of walkouts. Yeah, I'll be halfway through the show, and these people are go, I don't want to spend any more time here with this guy. Yeah, that hurts. So we've had security basically throwing people in. That's what we've had to do. Fill up our audiences. So we're down there next week, good Lord permitting. Florida, do something about the weather, would you please? All right, if you have a question about something in your life, some stuff of life, things that matter to you, something to help somebody else out, or a generic question. Really, really like generic questions. The folks, I've been getting emails from the folks at EWTN, some of my radio superiors. They seem to be of one mind. Ray, you need to sound a little smarter. Now, that's hard to do, so I figured out a way. It is possible to sound smarter. What I do is about every couple of minutes, I think of something really dumb to say, which is pretty easy, and then I don't say it. Addition by subtraction. So I hope I've been sounding smarter by not saying some of the dumber things that I have been saying before. Let me know. 877-57-EQUAL. My sister was 2 years younger than me. Although now, as we are older, she talks like she's 12 years younger than me. My sister was, well, a better arguer than I was. Now, we would bicker. You know, when you're close in years like that as siblings, it's easier to bicker. Not any more than normal, I'd say. Not any more than normal. Maybe once every 15, 16 minutes. I thought that I was the more reasonable of the siblings, of course, in my mind. I would shape my arguments for the matter at hand. I wanted to be logical and rational. My sister had a standard go-to response that she used pretty much every argument that we had. Let me illustrate. My mom would bake a cake. And remember when your mom made a cake, they put toothpicks in it and put the wax paper on top of the toothpicks so that it wouldn't smash the icing and you'd pull all the icing off when you pulled the wax paper off? Come on, you gotta tell me you gotta remember that. So my mom would make a cake, chocolate cake. And she'd tell us, I'm going to have two pieces in the refrigerator, one for you and one for Marianne. Great. So all day long, I'm thinking about this chocolate cake. Not really concentrating on my schoolwork whatsoever. I looked at Janice Pratt. She was one of the cutest girls in our school. But thinking about the cake. The cake was more important to me when I'm in the fifth grade than Janice Pratt. So given all that, I couldn't wait to get home. Got home, and I went to the fridge, opened it up. There was no cake. No cake in there. Both pieces are gone. My sister just happened to walk into the room. And I said, Marianne, there was two pieces of cake in there. And she'd say, yeah. Mine's gone. Did you eat my cake? Maybe. You have icing on your cheek. Maybe. Marianne, all day at school, I look forward to coming home and having that piece of cake. So, Mom said that you had one and I had one, and we were supposed to eat the ones that are ours. So? That's not right. So? I'm telling Mom. So? Now, at the time, I thought that was just a snotty comeback. However, I realized that that is a very good word for Christians. Not in a snotty way. We need to be a little more so Christians. By that I mean, somebody says something to us that we think is critical or insulting, put downish. We need to have a little bit more of a so attitude. Now, that doesn't mean you don't think about what they say. They could have legitimate observations here. What I mean is, when you get offended and upset because somebody says something you think you don't deserve, or it's misdirected, or it's critical without substance, you need to be a little more so. And by so, I mean you don't offend yourself over it. My father-in-law, He has these political opinions, and if you don't think like he does, he's going to make some snarky remark. So? My sister is always telling me how special her kids are, and the implication is mine aren't anywhere near as special. So? If I am late, and I have a very good reason, my dad never accepts it. Never accepts it. He dredges up how he thinks that I'm inconsiderate. So? I'm not saying that you simply shrug off everything everybody says at all times. What I'm saying is, so much of what people say that bothers us, that distresses us, that offends us, that hurts us, if we took a little bit more of a shrug the shoulders so attitude toward it, you wouldn't be so resentful. You wouldn't get so angry at other people. You wouldn't hold on to your hurts. I can't believe he said that about me. So? Well, I don't do that to her. So? Well, why are you always saying so? I don't like it. Did you say so? So? 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number to call. Oh, Trevor, boy, that's a, ooh, man, I don't know. I gotta pull in a lot of these folks from Catholic Answers or EWTN or Ave that are more of these moral ethicists. We'll find out. I'm Dr. Ray.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Thank you for joining me here, Dr. Ray Guarendi. I would like to put out a call, a request for Colin Donovan or Jimmy Akin or any of the ethicists and people in EWTN or Catholic Answers are all over the place. Marcus Peter there at Ave. Because I'm not sure exactly how to approach this call from Trevor. Where else? Nevada. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
You work at a casino?
I recently got hired to do security at a casino, and I was wondering if it's a sin for me to work there as a Catholic man.
Okay, let me qualify what I'm saying here, Trevor. Certainly I'm not a priest, and certainly not a moral ethicist. It would seem to me if you're doing security that you'd be okay. It's okay. I mean, you're just basically there to make sure there's no trouble, there's no violence. There isn't nasty stuff going on. I think it would become a little more fuzzy, let's say, if you were a dealer or you managed one of the tables and you knew You knew that, of course, the odds are in the house's favor all the time. And there's a lot of folks in there that are unable to control their gambling impulse. And they'll gamble away their kids' college fund, you know. And I think it would come down to a conscience issue. Say, for example, for me, would I do that? No, I wouldn't. Okay, so for me, it's a conscience issue. For somebody who says, well, I'm just dealing cards here. We're playing blackjack. And I can't see how I am directly involved in making somebody sin. All right, they are choosing to play the cards. So I think that's what it would come down to. Again, I'm speculating, but I can't see anything from a security issue or parking cars or something along those lines.
Right.
You know, you must be a pretty good sized guy there. They want you for security, Trevor.
Yeah, I'm 6'2", 220.
Yeah, that's a nice size. That's friend and I were talking about what would be the ideal size for a pro athlete. You know, somebody that could, across all sports, the major sports, football, baseball, but now basketball, no, you'd have to be a real stud at 6'2 to play NBA. But we were saying it's about 6'2. I said 220, he said 205. Well, it's a little, it's definitely small for a linebacker. Defensive back, I suppose. 220, you better be a real stud to be able to keep up with the wide receivers at 220. But there's some freaks out there that could do it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. Did you grow up in Nevada?
Yeah, I grew up in Vegas.
How old are you?
Can I ask you one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking of starting a men's club. I wanted your input. It's going to call ourselves Knights of Columbo.
you're gonna model yourself after Columbo, you know, in the men's club. Somebody's gonna say something, and you're gonna say, "Just one thing I don't understand. One thing that doesn't fit for me." You're gonna do it that way. I like it.
Yeah.
Of Columbo. Actually, the men's club probably best place to start there, Trevor, is in your local parish, right?
Yeah.
Get some dudes there, especially the young guys.
With our Knights of Columbus chapter.
That's kind of neat. Nice, because I binge watched. My wife and I watched about one Columbo episode when we were free at night, and we watched all 8-9 seasons. I don't know how many seasons there were, but I counted one time in an interchange that he had with a perp. 21 times he said, "Sir."
Wow.
Count him. Columbo did that. He goes, "Sir, you know, I noticed that when you got in your car there, sir, I just got one question for you. I don't really understand why that you stopped at that light. So, sir, if I'm not confusing myself here," and I just counted them. I thought, how many times did he say, "Sir?" It's 21. I do nutty things like that. Trevor, thank you. Good luck to you there, bud.
Thanks, Dr. Ray.
All right. I'll talk to you. Bye now. All right. Oh, good. There, a couple good ones there, and I asked for patience from folks. I just want to save Joe some money first. That's really what I want to do. And I've been wanting to negotiate with some callers like Joe, where if there's some way we could estimate the amount of money that I would save them over a certain amount of time by talking with them about the situation they're in. I think 6% would be good. And then I could tell the people that are paying me here, I don't need your money. I'm saving money for people like Joe. Hi, Joe. How are you? Hello there, Joe.
Hi, Father. Excuse me, Doctor. Just a little nervous. First time I've called into a radio show.
Joe, wait a minute. I can help you out. Let me help you out here, Joe.
Okay.
I am a highly trained psychologist. And when somebody tells me they're nervous, I'm able to adjust the situation. So here we go. Joe, relax. There, how's that?
All right.
You feel better already?
I feel better already.
Told you.
I I have a 23-year-old grandson who's been a little bit of a problem since he was born, I guess. But, you know, he struggled through high school, made it finally, went into community college and never made that happen, just spent a lot of money. And he has not really found his way to being a good employee. I mean, he's had many jobs that there's always an excuse as to why they let him go or they've been unfair. You know, he's gotten himself financially in trouble. I've helped him out. His father's helped him out. He bounces from job to job, and I don't know. I told him, I said, you know, number one, you need to be honest. You need to be honest with people and yourself, and you need to find out what you're doing or not doing that people let you go from a certain position. And I think he's looking now. He just the other day got let go and had an excuse as to why. And I think he's looking for me to try to help him out financially until he can find another job, which I've done in the past. I've bailed him out of credit cards and student loans. His father's done the same thing. So I'm just at a loss how to help this kid.
Well, you said some key things here, Joe. You said this has been a long, long-standing social problem, maybe going back because of his temperament or because of the way he was raised, that he's just not real responsible. Because of that, he tends to blame others, and he can't hold on to jobs because his frustration tolerance is very low. And you've talked with him. You've attempted to get him to think a little more clearly about all this, and it doesn't seem to be doing anything. So you help him out. You figure, okay, when he messes up, I'll prop him up until the next job. So here's the question, Joe. When are you going to decide no more propping up?
I think I decided that. he's called me. I've given him advice. I told him if you're out of work, you know, there's a lot of jobs out there. You know, you ought to be looking. And if you can't find one, go collect unemployment.
Where's he living?
I don't know how to do that.
Where's he living, Joe?
he's got his own apartment. You know, he has a new car that he leases. As far as I know, those are probably the only two real expenses that he has, you know, other than food and gas.
Well, he must be working enough, or we're hoping it's legitimate. He's working enough to pay those bills. Those are not small bills. So where's he getting money?
So far he's you know, he's worked. He worked for me for a little while, and I let him go because he wasn't doing the job. And I told him, you need to grow up and get a job with somebody else and show that you're responsible.
Here's a question, Joe. And, when he comes to you and he says, Grandpa, I ran out of money, and I don't have money to pay my rent. And now all of a sudden the bank is sending me notices they're going to repossess my car. What are you going to do, Joe?
Good question. That's my struggle, Doctor. That's my struggle, as to, you know, I'm one to try to help out everybody to a certain extent, especially those who help themselves.
Well, there's the key.
I don't know.
There's the key. I guess, Joe, you can do that, but I don't know if there'll be any end to it. You have to decide if and when the end will come regarding your support, and whether you're helping him out by continuing to do this. That's really the question, Joe. This is Dr. Ray.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
While I was working at this Protestant station, in the midst of being challenged by former Catholics, I received this book from Ascension Press, and I became hooked on apologetics. I discovered Catholic Answers. I discovered EWTN. I started listening to all these programs. I would just go to local Catholic bookstores and grab every single book I could on apologetics. Deep in my heart, I knew that it was true, and I trusted the Church for her 2,000 years of teaching. I knew a certain amount of scripture, but I wasn't able to defend it as well. That period of my life where I worked in Christian radio and was challenged by former Catholics, as painful as it was one of the best things that ever happened to me because it really forced me to dive in more deeply and fall even more in love with the Catholic Church.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What comes to your mind when you hear the word passion? Passion often signifies intensity of emotions and feelings, frequently in terms of lust. But the Catholic Catechism tells us passions are neither good nor bad in and of themselves. In other words, passions are morally good if they contribute to a good action, and evil if they bring about the opposite result. The most fundamental passion is love, says the Catechism. It is aroused by attraction to the good, the desire to attain the good, and fulfilled by joy and pleasure once the good is possessed. Evil, on the other hand, arouses hatred, aversion, and fear. Passions are the passageway connecting the senses and the mind. Jesus said the source of all passions was the human heart. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
+877 57 = is the number. We usually get a number of calls coming in right at the bottom of the hour. Dawn, you left, and I was going to go to you next. Her point was, in the world of bullying, so works pretty well. Yeah, it does, especially if it's verbal bullying. So much of the time, verbal bullying is just, it's words. And if a person can sew it off, it doesn't really, really continue for the most part. Pat from Erie, Pennsylvania, home of Father Larry Richards. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Doctor. How are you today?
Well, nothing gaining on me that I know of.
Oh, that's good. Well, I have a question. We have a 17-year-old granddaughter who has ADD, and she's had it for years. They've taken her to the doctor. They've given her some medication. But it seems as though it's, you know, even getting worse. I don't believe she takes her medication as she should, you know, regularly, being 17. They try to make sure she takes it. However, that doesn't always happen. My question is, who would they take? Is there a place that they can take her to that could help to teach her, I guess, how to remember to do things, how to, you know, set up a routine? She does go to just her family doctor, I think she goes through like somebody she talks to. I don't know if it's a psychologist. I assume that it probably is. But I don't know if there's another place they could take her to where they could help her to remember.
Well, when you say ADD, are you talking attention deficit disorder or are you talking attention deficit hyperactivity disorder?
They said it's ADD. She doesn't really seem to be, you know, extreme. Well, there's times, I guess, especially when she was little, a little bit. But it's more of the forgetting. Like, she forgot to go to work a couple times. You know, she forgot to do her homework. You know, it takes her an hour and a half, 2 hours just to get ready to do anything. She just dallies. She gets distracted. That's the main thing. And she's a senior in high school, wants to go to nursing school, and, of course, this has become a real issue.
Here's always the question, Pat. Here's always the question, especially in our labeling society. I can't argue with the diagnosis, obviously. There's no way I could say anything like that. However, ADD usually is kind of a spacey, inattentive sort of lack of perseverance to a demand or a topic or something that needs to be done. If she says she forgets, here's the question. What kinds of things does she forget? Does she forget usually requirements? For example, would she ever forget that one of her girlfriends wants to call her and is going to come and pick her up at 9 o'clock? Would she forget that? Mm-hmm. Or
I think she would.
Okay. So you're just saying she's kind of scatterbrained.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much that. You know, anything that needs to be done, if her parents tell her they want her to wash her clothes, do the dishes. And that's not because it's something she may not want to do. I mean, if they said, I want you to go and pick your brother up from the bus, well, you know, she could forget to do that. It's not, it's just like she's in another world, kind of. Even when she was little, I remember that. She was, it was just like she was, you know, kind of like in her own little world there.
Well, I guess her therapist is probably going to work with her in trying to get her to develop certain little skills that she can use to remind herself. But my question would be, when her parents ask something of her, when there's a requirement, do they get her attention? Do they make the request, like, go pick your brother up, and then repeat to me what I just said to you? You told me to go pick my brother up. Okay. Good. So the question becomes, and I always struggle with this as a therapist myself, how much of this is a neurological deficit that somehow, some way, this kid is not all that attentive to a lot of requirements, and how much of it is, I just don't really want to do that, and so I don't put a whole lot of effort into remembering, and I don't really do anything to make myself get a little more efficient. That's always the question, okay? And I've had so many parents tell me this. They'll say, yeah, well, you know, she's always been kind of scatterbrained. She doesn't do her homework. I'll say, well, when she comes home, do you have her sit at the kitchen table with the homework in front of her? Well, we tell her, you know, you got to get started on your homework. And she says, okay. And then an hour later, she hasn't started. And they're prone to say, okay, well, somehow that's something within her neurological makeup that makes her less able to do that. But in fact, are they structuring her environment? That's the big part of it.
I mentioned to my son, yeah.
Yeah, if you know she's like this, what are you going to structure? If you say, okay, you got to do the dishes, come right now. You don't say, okay, when you get a chance, do the dishes, because you'll ask her 9 more times.
Yeah.
So if you don't structure it up, then she's going to do what comes naturally, whether it is a habit or whether it is a neurological slipshodness. That's what you deal with. Now, if you say, well, are there ways that can teach her to remember? Not really in an office setting. It's very hard to generalize that from an office setting. They're going to have to more or less look at, what does she forget? What is she most likely to just put off? For example, if she goes to college, what are they going to do to structure this girl's study habits? Will she have a tutor? Will she have a study time with setups, with friends? How will they structure this? Because they know that if they leave her on her own, for whatever the reason, she's more likely just to let stuff slide.
Right, yeah. That's kind of what I've told him indirectly. You know, I know that I've talked to friends who have had children who have, like, autism, and having a structured life is for them really important, and I would assume that it's the same with if you have ADD, or it's just a matter of just letting things go, you know.
Pat, and, you have twice said, I've told him. Is there not a marriage here?
Oh, yeah, there is. I just talk to him more.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, yeah, they're on the same page.
Okay.
Yeah, him and his wife, definitely. As far as, you know, what needs to be done.
Is this young lady, does she do okay in school?
She does really well in school.
Well, see, then that raises a question. Because the number one thing that shows up, if someone's diagnosed ADD, the number one thing that shows up is school struggles, underachievement. Okay. So if this kid's getting A's and B's, excuse me, you got to raise the question, how is this happening? If she supposedly has these attention deficits, this should show up in her schoolwork. And if it's not, then the question becomes, okay, what exactly is she forgetting? 877-57-EQUAL is the number. I'm Dr. Ray.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I Can't Get No Satisfaction is a popular song, but it could be a summary of our life on earth. In the book of Genesis, we hear that we're made in the image and likeness of God. That means that we can know the truth and we can choose to do good to others. We can love. It comes to fulfillment in the Sermon on the Mount where we hear these Beatitudes. It's the standard of the Christian life. Jesus tells us that if we hear what he says and do what he tells us to do, we will be like wise people who build our house on solid rock. But we make progress towards happiness and blessedness by our actions, and it starts with our interior disposition, what we want to choose. Do you and I hunger and thirst for those things that will lead us to happiness and to God? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor's Inn. I'm Dr. Ray Grandy. Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, co-production, Ave Maria Radio Communications and EWTN. I'm going to make a comment a little bit more on a couple of those previous calls here, especially Joe's, but I want to read this again. I read this about, I don't know, every couple, three, 4 months. From the Daughters of St. Paul. If the world hates you because of Jesus, that's fine. If they hate Jesus because of you, that's a problem. When I was in the evangelical world, I was out of the Catholic Church for 8 years. And of course, a staple of evangelical attendance is Bible studies. We had our Bible study after the service. And every so often the question came up, you know, why do people get so upset at us Christians because of our moral stance? And a common answer was, they know that we're right. Somewhere down deep, there's a flicker that says this is the good way to live, but they're not living that way, so therefore they're going to get angry at anybody who talks about living that way or, in fact, lives that way.
And I remember thinking, are they upset at us because we're holy? Or because we're a jerk? Talk about this in my Thinking Like Jesus book. I wasn't sure if some of the anger and upset toward Christians is because of our moral stances or because of the way we come off regarding our moral stances. You can be holy, but Jesus really had trouble with people who were holier than thou. There's something about spiritual superiority that just really rankled our Lord. He seemed to reserve his harshest criticism for those who held themselves up as spiritually superior to the riffraff. And I remember thinking in Bible study, is that a danger? That somehow, some way, in having a moral stance, you can come across like, well, you know, I'll pray for your wretched soul, you pagan. Now, granted, you do have moral stances. I guess it depends upon how you express those moral stances. You can be holy or you can be a jerk. I'm going to go back to Joe for a second, though. Joe was basically saying, and it was interesting how he put it. He said, this young man, he's 23 years old, been a problem since he was zero. I don't know what that means. I would explore it with him if he were in therapy. I'd say, so what kind of history do we have here? And if he would say, this has been a long-standing difficulty through school, through peer relations, through certain amount of defiance, whatever it was. Now, it can be because of temperament, the way the child's wired, makes him a little tougher to raise. Or it can be, and more often than not it is, that there was a lot of stuff going on in the parenting family life that allowed this stuff to continue and grow. And so now he's 23. He can't hold a job. For whatever the reason, he can't hold a job. He gets upset when the boss has certain demands or if there are coworkers that he doesn't exactly get along with so easily. He quits. He just quits. And Joe has said, I propped him up. His dad has propped him up. We've given him money. Sustain him in between jobs. So my question for Joe is, well, what would happen if you didn't? And that's where most parents and grandparents struggle. I asked him that because chances are that was going to happen. If he's had a history of multiple job losses, and right now he's living in his own apartment, and many, many parents will say, oh, no, he had to come back home because he lost his job and he can't afford to pay his rent and they're going to repossess his car and he can't pay his car insurance and he's certainly not going to give up his phone, so he came back home. Now what? What are you going to do? The question becomes, and this is, I think, the key question to all of this, are you helping or are you hurting? In the short term, you can dodge the crisis. All right, he didn't get kicked out of his apartment. All right, he didn't lose his car. And what's worse of all, he didn't lose his phone. Okay, short term. Then what? Then what? What kind of job will he get, or will he even look? That's always a question, too. Many, many of these young adults don't seek to get employment. And I've wrestled with a lot of that. My dad, when he retired, he was 65. I remember we all met him when he was leaving Union Metal in Canton, Ohio. And my dad worked at Union Metal for 43 years. When he was walking out, the foreman said, Nick, you're the last of a breed. What he meant by that was my dad never missed work. I mean, he went to work when he was sick. He never, ever missed work. The last 13 years from age 52 to 65, Pop never missed a single day of work. The foreman, of course, was implying that the younger guys are not like this. And any small business person will tell you this. The biggest problem they have for building their business is getting reliable young employees. I've been driving through McDonald's and a lot of these places, and I've been noticing that a lot of people work in the drive-thrus and other places are 60 plus because they're the ones still with that work ethic. So why is it that there are more and more young people like Joe's grandson at age 23 who can't hold a job? I do believe part of it, obviously there's many factors involved, but I do believe part of it is this is the natural byproduct of growing up very pampered. And I don't mean, when people think pampered, they think spoiled. I think our lifestyle is pampered. It's heavy entertainment. It is heavy, heavy pleasures. It is all kinds of options. And therefore, the kind of self-discipline necessary to hold on to a job or to show up when you're supposed to show up, for many, is lacking. It's not there. Less numbers. My dad's generation, for the most part, you got a job, you were responsible to hold on to that job until you moved to something better, or in fact, you just kept that job because, in a lot of respects, that was the right thing to do. My dad grew up during the Depression, so he didn't have much. So a job was very important to him. But a lot of young people, they grow up with much. They are the beneficiaries of the lifestyle of their own parents. So to exert the kind of self-discipline necessary for many is a struggle. It's a real struggle. And I just see more and more young people like this, and I have more and more business people, small business people tell me, I have to interview 20 people to get one, and that one may or may not show up on the first day of work. I hear this constantly from small business people. This is a phenomenon that's pretty widespread. And I think that in a lot of respects, it's funny, St. Paul said, let him who does not work not eat. Well, that sounds harsh nowadays, doesn't it? But that's St. Paul talking in Scripture. All right, I better let you go. I'll be back.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart-friendly, ride-your-bike-everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort-style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at avemaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
He is honored by the church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I got this from a mom. Our 15-year-old gives us very little help around the house. He is active in school sports, feels he doesn't have much free time. We don't ask much. Take out the trash. Keep his room clean. Get him to do even that is a battle. Easier on my nerves to do his chores myself. I asked a group of parents one night. We were giving a talk. That would be about 100 parents. How many of you are getting help around the house from your adolescent or teen that you believe is sufficient? About three of them raised their hands out of, 50 to 100. Of course, the other parents looked at them with, "You're a liar," or, "Come on, how are you doing this? Don't believe you." So I asked the others that didn't get the help they wanted around the house, if not, why not? Now, they reflected what this mom said. "Well, the kids have very active lives. You know, they come home from school after sports, and then they do their schoolwork, or if they do their schoolwork, and then they need relaxing time, and then sometimes they're on the phone, and they're just so busy, gone in different places, and there really isn't enough time." That's one. Another one is, "Well, there's really not that much to do, actually. I mean, just a few things here and there, you know, take out the trash." But the number one reason, survey says, number one reason, "I don't want the fight. It's just easier to do it myself." Well, this ties into what I just said about more young people not being reliable for work. We don't grow up on a farm in 1880 anymore in Peoria, Illinois. So they don't have to get up at 4 o'clock and do things. They don't have heavy chores that you would have in a rural setting. No, they don't. They don't have much to do, really, actually. Even cleaning their room, for most of them, they don't do it. So what do you do as a parent? Many parents don't link privileges, social freedoms, to your work. You don't go anywhere, you don't do anything until those things are done. That's it. It's very simple. The average 14, 15-year-old wants to do all kinds of stuff. They want to watch stuff, they want to play stuff, they want to call friends, they want to get on their phone. Well, none of that happens until you mow the backyard or you sweep out the garage. See, typically, most parents ask very little. And what they ask is usually the really, really routine stuff. Take the trash down once a week. Make sure I can see your carpet on your floor, at least in some 6-square-inch spots. Feed the goldfish who died 3 weeks ago because you didn't feed them. Take care of the dog because this is the 6th day in a row that I've fed the dog and you wanted the dog and you're not feeding the dog. So these are tiny little things. And my experience has been the less you ask of a kid, you're going to get even less. So you need to add some things. You need to actually come up with stuff. I've said this before in this program. For a consequence for misbehavior, labor. 1 hour worth of labor, 2 hours worth of labor. You have to do everything that I ask you to do in that hour, or you don't have privileges. It's not going to happen. The way you talk to your sister was really, really mean. You're doing all of her chores today. Let me tell you what they are. Yeah, she's taking the barbells up to the attic. She always changes the transmission fluid. She's going to do a valve job on the car. 65 Pontiac GTO. Many employers will thank you for doing this. Now, I know Andrew Krucek and Eric Dumont, they work. They're there. They show up. I work too. Of course, what I do isn't exactly exhausting. I do appreciate the company. Thank you so very, very much. Hopefully see some of you next week at Ave Maria University. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's Dr. Ray. Walk with God all the way to heaven.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.